Brothers and sisters, good morning. It's good to be with you again. If you haven't met me, my name is Phil. I'm the minister at Noosa Presbyterian Church, and I'm here this morning as part of Presbytery. In a few moments, we're about to induct Daniel as your minister, but Daniel's not exactly new around here. Every time I come up, he's not here. I think maybe he's trying to avoid me, but I gather that most of you have seen his face once or twice before. Well, friends, as thankful as I am to God, and as we all are for Daniel and that he's going to continue to be your minister, this morning is not about Daniel. In fact, my aim for the next few minutes is to take the spotlight off Daniel as much as possible, and to shine it onto the one who is truly deserving of our attention. This morning we're going to consider five important questions about who you are as a church, where you've come from, and where you're going, and why you exist. And as we do that, we're going to see this morning that this church has very little to do with Daniel, and absolutely everything to do with Jesus. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into this part of God's word together. Would you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. The word that we have just sung about, the word that is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. And so we ask now that you would light the way for us. Help us to understand what we read this morning in this part of your word. But more than that, help us to be changed by it. Help us to see the glorious truths that are contained within it, that you would help us understand who we are and understand more who you are, and rejoice that we can be called a church in Christ. Our Lord, we ask this because it is good for us. We ask it so that it might bring glory to your name. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've closed your Bibles, please open them back up. I don't know what the page number was, but Colossians chapter 1 is where we are at this morning. We're asking five questions about who you are as the church. And hopefully the first question is there: who is Gympie Presbyterian Church? And we're going to look at verse 1 of Colossians chapter 1 there, because when the Apostle Paul writes to Christians in Colossae, he is very clear and very specific about who they are. Now, there's no chance of this letter getting lost in the post. There is one clear thing that sets these Colossians apart from all other Colossians. Paul is writing to people who are in Christ. See verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, that's a bit of a strange concept, being in Christ. If I were to come here this morning and introduce you to the church that is in Daniel, I suspect you'd all start to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And Daniel even more so, because that sounds bloating. But this is how the Apostle Paul likes to describe the relationship that Christians have with Jesus. And it's a very helpful one when you consider some of the alternative descriptions that people might have in their minds of their relationship with Jesus. You see, for some people, Jesus is like a life coach sharing videos on TikTok, teaching them how to live their best life. For some people, Jesus is a cheerleader. They're running the race and he's on the sideline kind of urging them on to keep going. For some people, Jesus is the Pilates instructor. Do what I do, be like me. For others, Jesus is like the boss at work. He's employed them, he's given them tasks, and then he's going to evaluate their performance. But you see the problem. All of those give way too much credit to ourselves and too little credit to Jesus. Because in Paul's understanding, Christians are people who are being carried. We are in Christ. He's doing all the heavy lifting. We share in all the benefits. We go where he goes. What happens to him happens to us. His death counts as our death. His righteousness counts as our righteousness. His life is now our life, and his future becomes our future. See, Paul wants the Colossians to know that this is who they are. The fact that they live in Colossae, trivial. Whether they are rich or poor, young or old, whether they are well regarded or they are social outcasts, that doesn't matter. The only distinction that matters is that they are in Christ. And brothers and sisters, this morning I want you to understand that it is the same for you. The thing that makes Gympie Presbyterian Church so significant, and it is significant, it's not that it's in Gympie. That's trivial. Your defining characteristic is not that you are Presbyterian. Although that is important, it's not that important. The thing that sets you apart is that you are in Christ. Now, that applies on a church level. It applies at your individual level. None of the things that you use to introduce yourself to people at parties really matter that much. When you go and you meet someone for the first time, you say, oh, I'm a plumber, I like reading books, I support the Broncos. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that you are in Christ. Your distinction, who you are, your identity is that you are a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who is in Christ. Gympie Presbyterian Church is a church in Christ. That's who you are. How did you get here? I've said that you are in Christ. How did that happen? And the answer we see in Colossians is that you received the gospel. That is the only way you can be in Christ. That's how the Colossians came to be in Christ. Paul says they heard the true message of the gospel from Epaphras. And the evidence that they received the message, and the evidence that that message was true, is seen in the three things which Paul thanks God for in verses 4 and 5. Faith, love, and hope. You see, Paul tells the Colossians that he always thanks God when he prays for them because he has heard first about their faith in Christ Jesus. They've entrusted themselves to him. Second, he thanks God for their love for their brothers and sisters, because Christian faith is not just an inward belief. It is something that is expressed. It is lived out in love. And that faith and that love, they grow in the fertile soil of hope. Not wishful thinking, but a certain knowledge that our future is secure in heaven. That's the evidence of receiving the gospel. That's how Paul knows that the Colossians have received it and believed it. The faith, love, and hope. And that's what the gospel does. Like rain that moves through the land in drought, everywhere the gospel goes, it brings fruit and growth. And notice, Paul refers to both of those things in verse 6. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it. You see, the gospel bears fruit. It produces that faith and that love and that hope in those who believe. But it also grows in that it spreads, it multiplies. As people come and receive this gospel, they share that gospel, and more people come to be included in Christ. Now, Paul can see that fruit and growth in Colossae, and so he thanks God for it. He knows they are in Christ, and friends, it is the same for you. Today, Gympie Presbyterian Church becomes a calling charge, which probably doesn't mean that much to that many of you. But it is a recognition that you are a church, are able to stand on your own two feet. When Presbytery looks at your church, we see signs of health. You have godly elders who are leading you. You have a functioning committee of management. You're meeting your financial obligations. You're not at each other's throats every time you gather together, at least not as far as I can tell. And these things are wonderful. We thank God for them. But brothers and sisters, we thank God all the more that this is a church where there is faith, love, and hope. Because by those, we know that you have received the gospel. That's how we know that together we are in Christ. And I hope you thank God for your church too. I've loved this morning how we've been asking, how can we pray for our church? Well, you can thank God for your church. Praise God that he has been so kind and he has been so good that he has brought all these people to know the good news of his son. Look around at the people sitting in the chairs next to you. Every one of them is a guilty rebel, just like me. Every one of them was facing eternal punishment, separation from God. And look what God has done. He's given them this gospel. He's grown in them faith, love, and hope. He's included them in Christ alongside you to the praise of his glorious grace. I hope you pray for your church. I hope you thank God for your brothers and sisters. But as we move on, we can also ask God to supply what they are lacking. Because as we move on, we see that even though we are in Christ, even though we are called God's holy people, even though we've received the gospel, and even though that gospel has produced faith and love and hope in us, we are all still a work in progress. None of us are now what we will be. And so as we keep going, we come to our third question, which is, where are you going? Who are you? You're a church that is in Christ. You got here by receiving the gospel, but you're not going to stay here. And so in verse 9, we see that Paul's desire for the Colossians is that they keep growing. Where they are now is not their final destination. They, like us, are a work in progress. And so in verse 9, Paul turns from thanking God for them to petitioning God on their behalf. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And that in itself is really interesting. He says, for this reason. It is because he knows that they are in Christ that he's now motivated to pray for their transformation. He's confident that if they're saved, well, God will continue the work onto completion. He will change them. And so what does he pray for? He prays that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Now, often we talk about God's will in terms of what God wants us to do as individuals with the little decisions that we face. You know, who does God want me to marry? Where does God want me to live? What job does God want me to take? In what ways does God want me to use my gifts in ministry? But you see, when Paul prays that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, these are not the things that come to mind for him. When Paul prays that they'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will, he's praying that they'll come to see with greater clarity, not God's little plan for their lives as individuals, but God's age-old plan for the entire universe. In fact, the more we understand God's big plan for the whole world, the less we actually worry about the little decisions we need to make day to day. Because in light of God's eternal plan to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth through the Lord Jesus, whether we like, do a trade or go to university, it's inconsequential. Who cares? When God is at work rescuing people and bringing them into his eternal kingdom. And so Paul wants the Colossians to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. He wants them to know what it is that God really wants, what God is planning for this world. And because it is this, verse 10, that enables them to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Do you see the logic there, the so that of verse 10? The result of knowing God's will is walking in God's way and pleasing him. If you don't know what God wants, you can't please him. It's a bit like when I try and buy a birthday present for my brother. Every family has that person you just can't buy for because you don't know what they want. This is my brother. He is the one. I don't know what he wants, and therefore I can't please him because anything I buy is not what he wants. Well, Paul wants the Colossians to know what God wants so that they can please him. And they can. They genuinely can. You can please God. Well, verse 10 to 12, Paul gives us four examples of what it looks like to live in a manner worthy of the Lord. What it looks like to please God. Now, first, bearing fruit. We've already seen that that looks like growing in faith and love and hope. Now, secondly, growing in our knowledge of God, understanding who God is. Verse 11, being strengthened with endurance and patience. This is a long game we're playing. And verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father. This is what our lives will look like when by his Spirit God grows us in the knowledge of his will. We will not only belong to the kingdom of light where God has, which God has qualified us to share in, verse 12, we will look like we belong. I used to work as an engineer, and in my first day of working at the nickel refinery in Townsville, my company sent me to work in the corporate uniform. Every single other person on that site was wearing high-vis, and I walked in the corporate shirt. I didn't belong, and I didn't look like I belonged. I didn't belong because I wasn't actually allowed, like, past a line on the site because I wasn't wearing the right gear. I wasn't qualified. The next day, I got my uniform, my high-vis, and I was qualified. I was allowed to be on site. But I still didn't look like I belonged because the problem is when you get a brand new high-vis uniform, it is fluorescent, like it hurts your eyes to look at. Every other person on that site was caked in grease and mud. It was barely high-vis. They were mostly brown. Over time, I became more like them. I started to look more and more like I belonged. Well, friends, if you are in Christ, you are qualified to share in the inheritance of the kingdom of light. You are in. You belong. But God's not done with you yet. He is changing you. He's growing you. He's growing you in your knowledge of his will so that you can live in a manner worthy of him, so you can look like you belong. And day after day after day, you will please him even more. Friends, he's growing you in knowledge. He's strengthening you with patience and endurance. He's growing you in joy and gratitude. This is where you as a church should be heading. And God is doing all of that for Jesus' sake. Who are you? You're God's holy people in Christ. How did you get here? You believed the gospel. Where are you going? God is changing you to look like you belong in his kingdom of light. But why are you here? Why is Gympie Presbyterian Church a thing? Well, brothers and sisters, you are here for the Son. You're here for the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You're here for the one in whom and for whom everything was made. Now, if you have a toddler in your life, you will be aware of the mine phase. Primary schoolers have the Minecraft phase. Before that, there's toddlers with the mine phase, and that is where they point at something and say, mine. And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's theirs or not theirs. It could be another kid's toy, mine. Daddy's wallet, mine. I've had toddlers in my family tell me that their house is theirs and I need to get out. Well, friends, Jesus plays the same game. And yet in his case, it is entirely legitimate. He created it and it was created for him. And so he can point at the earth and he can say, mine. And he can look up at the heavens and he can say, mine. He can look at visible things and I don't know if he looks at invisible things, but he can point to the invisible things and he can say, mine. He can point at every throne and power and ruler and authority and he can say, mine. Because absolutely everything that is his. Which means, friends, that this church is not Daniel's church any more than it is your church. This is Jesus' church. He created it. He shed his blood to redeem it. It is his. You are his. And so in everything you do as a Christian, in everything you do as a church, Jesus Christ must have the supremacy. That is why you are here. Well, brothers and sisters, as we recognize you today as a calling charge and give thanks to God for the growth and the health that you've experienced, let's remember who you are. You are in Christ. Let's remember how you got here. You got here by believing the gospel. Let's hold tight to where you're going, living a life worthy of the Lord. And let's remember why. Because you belong to the one who reigns supreme over all things. We exist for him. And so our final question is, what should we do now? What do we do as these people who are in Christ, who have believed the gospel, who have seen that gospel bear fruit in our lives and in our church? What should we do? Don't move a muscle. As Paul rounds out his greeting to the Colossians, he reminds them of how they have been reconciled to God through Christ's body and then presented before God, holy, without blemish, free from condemnation. And then in verse 23, he gives them one condition, one qualification, one big if. Verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. And so friends, this is my encouragement to you today. This is my encouragement to Daniel today, as it is for every one of you. Do not move from the gospel. You can move other things. Move the chairs, move the pulpit, move buildings if you need to. You've done it once, you could do it again. You can change the songs, you can change the programs, change whatever you need to change to reach Gympie for Jesus. But friends, do not move from the gospel. Keep believing in this gospel. Be established and firm in this gospel. Do not move from the gospel that you have heard and believed. Do not move from the gospel that will be proclaimed across the world until Jesus returns. lose that gospel, friends, and this church is a waste of time and space. Worse than that. But friends, continue in it, and Gympie Presbyterian Church will continue to be a church in Christ. And brothers and sisters, there is nothing better in all the world than being in Christ. Can I pray for you? Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for my brothers and sisters here at Gympie Presbyterian Church. I thank you that by the riches of your grace, you've included them in Christ through faith in the gospel. Lord, keep growing them in their knowledge of your will so that they may live lives that are worthy of the Lord and that they may please you in every way. Help them to know and to grasp that they belong to the one for whom all things in heaven and on earth were made. And may Jesus have the supremacy in their hearts and in their lives. Father, I pray that they would not move from the gospel. I ask that you would strengthen them by your Spirit with patience and endurance so that they may hold fast to the gospel and remain always a church who is in Christ. For the glory of your Son, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the one in whom and for whom we exist, for the one who reconciled us to you through the offering of his blood, it is in him and for him that we pray these things. Amen.